Thank you. Declaration of Independence was the birth certificate of our nation, but the men who signed it knew it could be their death warrant. They incorporated the precepts of Christ into civil government. The closing paragraph states, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance of the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Let us not forget the purpose for which our nation was established. The founding fathers have passed us a torch. We cannot let it go out."
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children back in America when men were free.
Praise God. Aren't you glad we live in a free country today? We're going to pray for our country. I'd like you to stand with me, and I'm going to ask our evangelist, Jim Turner, to come and pray for us and our country. Brother?
Let us pray. So, Father God, we come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you that you are a good God and that you are a faithful God. Lord, we thank you that this nation was based and founded on the Word of God. And Lord, your word said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven and will forgive our sins and will heal our land. Father God, we repent this morning, Lord. We repent of everything that stands in between us and you, Father. We repent of fornication. We repent of lust and greed and pride and rebellion, Father God. God, we come before you with our whole hearts, Lord, and asking that you would heal our nation, God, that you would restore us, God, yes, that God. You would renew us, Lord God. God, that your presence and your power and your glory will come upon this nation in a powerful way, Lord God, that your people, which are called by your name, will begin to seek you, Father God, and call upon your name, Father God. God, we ask for every church in America this morning. We ask for the spirit of repentance. Yes, Lord, we ask for the spirit of revival to fall upon this morning, God. God, we ask that your people will cry and weep and cry out for souls, Father God. God, we pray for our leaders in the Senate and in the White House, yes, Father God. We pray for our president, Father God. We ask that for your wisdom. We ask for your knowledge. We ask for your power and for the Spirit of God to move in them and through them, Lord God. Give them wisdom and discernment, Lord God. Lead them and guide them into all truth, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
God, in the name of Jesus, you said if two or more touch and agree on anything, it shall be done. Your word said if we ask anything according to your word, that you hear us, Father God. So we pray with confidence and we pray with boldness this morning, God, that you are doing it right now, Father. You are moving on our leaders. You are moving in our churches. You are moving from the crack house to the White House, Father
Hallelujah.
God. To God's house, Father God. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the many gifts that you give us, and part of that is the ability to get wealth. And Lord God, you have spoken to us through your word that we should give back to you a portion of what you have given to us. We should give cheerfully. We should give freely, not under compulsion, but because we love you. For God loves a cheerful giver. And Lord God, we give today, and we thank you, Lord God, and we appreciate you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Everyone, you know, Jesus said, come to the table. And nobody is unworthy of that table. And there's a part in this song that I can't sing, so I'm going to talk it. But as I talk it, kind of find yourself where these people are, because we were all there one time. But now we're you know, in the presence of God. And so the title of the song is Come to the Table, and that's a beautiful song. So
we all start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give.
Oh, the shape that we were in.
And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been set free. Take your place beside the Savior and be set free. Come to the table. This motley crew of misfits, these liars and these thieves, there's no one that will compete. That sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. So come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come to the table.
To the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail and been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who love and lost forever, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost who have been found, all been labeled, right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song.
Come, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Oh, sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come to the table. Down and be set free. Come to the table.
Come to the altar.
The Father's arms are open wide.
Today in your presence. Oh, you are doing good things. Good things. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. We can't thank you enough. Oh, God. But we pray that our praise and our worship is sweet unto your ears, Lord God, and to your heart. Lord God, I pray that as we hear the Word of God preached today, that you would move in a mighty way in our lives. We don't want to leave here the way we came.
Oh, yes, hallelujah.
We are your people, called royal priesthood, holy nation. We have been given divine power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do through your church. We pray in Jesus' name. And all the people said amen. Hallelujah. This microphone is ready. Brother Turner, would you come and preach the word?
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.
If you could, turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. very popular passage in the Word of God about David and Goliath. Very powerful story about spiritual warfare and the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we've already prayed over the word, Pastor did. Now, how many guys know that when we come into church, it's easy to get the victory? But out of these doors and go back to our daily routine, that sometimes by Monday or Tuesday, we lose the victory that we gained every Sunday in this place. And so this morning I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will teach us not how to get the victory. We know how to get the victory. But praying that the Holy Spirit will speak to you about how to keep the victory after we get it on Sunday morning. Amen. And I believe that God has given us some tools in order to teach us how to walk in complete victory in Christ Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 1. Now, as I say the word Philistines, I want you to think of the devil or demons or opposition or the enemy or whatever you're facing and fighting, the challenge that is in your life right now. And when I talk about the children of Israel, I want you to think about those who are Christians, are born again, that are in covenant with God, and watch this passage of scripture unfold to us this morning of what is going on in our lives every day. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, 1, verse 1 says, "Now the Philistines," or the opposition, the enemy, "gathered their forces for war and assembled at Saka in Judah." It says they gathered their forces. The enemy gathered their forces, or their army. How many guys know that we are in a war right now? That we are in a war. And our war is not against flesh and blood, but we are in a war against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Every one of you are in an army today. You either belong to the army of God or you belong to the army of Satan, but you are in an army this morning. You belong to a force this morning. Amen. And so it says that the Philistines gathered their force, or gathered their armies for war. How many guys realize this morning that we are in a war? Amen. That's the first step, is realize that you are in an army. And then realize that you are in a war. And then thirdly, realize that you have an enemy. Your enemy is not your brother-in-law or your mother-in-law. Your enemy is Satan himself and his evil forces. Amen. And so he gathered together for war and assembled. Where? At Judah. Everybody say Judah. As I was coming here this morning, I was meditating on this passage of scripture. And if you've been in church long enough, you know that Judah means praise. Everybody say praise. The enemy gathered their forces to come against God's people. Where? At praise. The enemy will always come and attack you in praise and worship. That's where he wants to stop you, in Judah, at praise and worship, right? Verse number 3, the Philistines were standing, or the enemy was standing on one hill, and God's people, the Israelites, were on another hill, and the valley was between them. This shows us what's going on in the spiritual realm in every one of your lives right now. We have our army on one side and the enemy's army on another side, and their life is full of mountains and of valleys. Amen. Sometimes we're on the mountain and sometimes we're in the valley, but there is always opposition that is coming in your life if you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God. Amen. Verse number 10. Then the Philistine said, or the enemy said, the demon said, "I defy Israel's troops this day. Give me a man so I can fight each other." In other words, Satan is always looking for a challenge. He's always looking for somebody that is vulnerable and open their door for sin so that Satan can come in and steal, kill, and destroy. There is always going to be opposition. Verse number 37, I'm skipping. David went on to say, everybody say, say. He went on, he opened his mouth and he spoke. And what was David when he was facing this opposition, when he was facing the devil? The Bible said he opened his mouth and he began to speak. The Lord who delivered me from the lion and from the bear will also deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Other words, when he was facing his giant, when he was facing his obstacle, when he was facing demonic forces or opposition or spiritual warfare, he opened his mouth and began to proclaim God's faithfulness. Can I tell you that if you are facing opposition this morning, you need to open your mouth and you need to proclaim God's goodness in the past. The same God who delivered me from the lion and the same God who delivered me from the bear is the same God who's going to deliver me from the situation that I am facing in my life right now. He was quoting and speaking God's faithfulness. And if you want to walk in victory, if you want to have the victory every day, you got to learn how to quote God's faithfulness, that he's been faithful in the past and he will be faithful in my present. Amen. Then verse number 40, he took a staff in his hand, picked up five smooth stones. Everybody say fives. Five stones from the stream. He placed them in his pouch in the shepherd's bag and took a sling in his hand and he approached. Everybody say approached. He approached the Philistine. Other words, he didn't just sit back and wait for the enemy to attack. No, he got aggressive and he went out and he fought the giant. If you are going to have any victory in your home, any victory in this church, any victory in your life, can I tell you, you got to get aggressive with your enemy. My Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got power and you have authority to aggressively approach your enemy this morning and win. Everybody say win. Watch verse number 45. But David replied to the Philistine. In other words, he opened his mouth again. You are coming against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel's armies, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and I will cut off your head. This day I will give the corpse of the Philistines' army to the birds of the sky and the wild animals of the land. Then all the land will realize that Israel has a God, and this assembly will know that it's not by sword nor by spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver you into our hands. Other words, he opened his mouth, he proclaimed God's faithfulness, he got aggressive with the enemy, and then he opened his mouth again and began to declare victory. Can I tell you that if you're going to win this battle that you're facing right now, you can't be speaking death. You can't be speaking negatively. You got to speak positively. You got to speak faith. You got to speak victory. You got to declare that we are winners and we are not whiners. We are not warriors. We are warriors and we're going to come in winners. Amen. You are not the tail, you are the head. You are not going under, you are going over. You are not going to die, declares the word of the Lord over your life. But you got to open your mouth and speak victory. Everybody say victory. Verse number 49 and 50. David reached into his hand, into the bag, and took out a stone. Everybody say a stone. He had five, but he took out one. He slung it, striking the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank deeply into his forehead, and he fell down with his face to the ground. Verse number 50. David prevailed over the Philistines with just a sling and the stone, one stone. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. David did not even have a sword in his hand. Today, once again, what I'm talking to you about is about having the victory every day in your life. And as I begin to pray, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4 and 5. Casting down images and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But what that passage teaches us, yes, we are in a war. Yes, we have an enemy. And we know that it's principalities and powers. But can I tell you that God did not leave you without... Every army has weapons. And the reason that you can walk in victory every day of your life is because God has given us weapons of warfare. David said that he teaches my hand to war. Not just to worship, but to war. Amen? And so this morning we're going to look at, okay, so the Bible says we're in a war, that we have an enemy. But we also have weapons. You need to realize, what are the weapons that God has given us so that we can walk, not just get the victory, but keep the victory every day in our life. And can I tell you something? You need every one of these. If you forget to take one of these weapons out with you, can I tell you something? You will not walk in complete victory in your life. Everybody say seven. God given us seven weapons of warfare so that you can walk in complete victory, complete dominion every day of your life. I preach this message, I think, three times now. The first time I preached it, God gave me the first three weapons, and we're going to look at that. Then the second time I preached it, God gave me two more, and I preached five weapons of warfare. This morning, even a few moments ago, God gave me, I had six. I'm like, there's the number six is not right. There's got to be the seventh one. And we started anointing people with oil, and God gave me the seventh weapon, even this morning. And number seven is God's complete, means completion, amen? And so if we're going to walk in victory, we got to know what these seven weapons are, and we don't leave the house until we are armed and dangerous and ready for every giant that comes in our life. You ready? 1 John chapter 5, watch this. The first three come from heaven. The first three weapons come from heaven. Watch this. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. We all know this verse. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. So we're talking about being an overcomer. How many overcomers do we have in the building this morning? Amen? The Bible says in Romans 8 that we are more. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen? Overcomes the world, and this is the victory. So we're talking about overcoming, and we're talking about victory, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Everybody say faith. Verse number 7, watch this. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and we know that the Word became flesh, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The three in one. The Holy Trinity. The Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven about being victorious and about being an overcomer. That's the whole context. In heaven, there's complete victory. Amen? And the reason that there's complete victory is because of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's break this down. And then he says, and there are three, verse number 8. And there are three that bear witness on the earth. Everybody say the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the water, which is the Word. And the blood. Everybody say the blood. And these three agree in one. Other words, in heaven, the reason that there's victory is because of the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But if you want to walk in victory on the earth, there are three that bear witness of victory on the earth. The first one is the blood. Everybody say the blood. Can I tell you something? There is no victory outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. If we're going to walk in victory, we got to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We should plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our family every day. We should plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this church every day. We should plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our children every day. The Bible says, without the remission, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen? So if we want to have the victory, we got to be covered by the blood. The Bible says that if we want forgiveness, we can only experience forgiveness through what? The blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we confess our sin, 1 John chapter 1, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it is only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be saved and that we can be forgiven of any of our sins. Amen? How many guys are grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ? That's why we can pray for people to get healed, because Jesus said that by my stripes you were healed. We pray for people that are sick with diseases and infirmities. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than any sickness and any disease, any infirmity, and any devil. We get people that are demon-possessed. I tell you how you deal with them. You plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them. Amen? Because that is where our victory is. That is where we get the deliverance, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I hear a great amen? But can I tell you something? It's not, here's a shocking statement. You ready? If you want to walk in victory, now you can get saved by being covered by the blood. But if you want to walk in complete victory, can I tell you something? It's not enough to be covered by the blood. I know that's a shocking statement. It's enough to get saved. But I can tell you about a lot of people that are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are not walking in victory. They are not walking in power and authority, because you got to pick up the second weapon that comes from heaven, and you got to be covered by the blood, and then you got to be full of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. You see, if you want to walk in victory and walk in power, we need to get full of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, when he was on the scene baptizing people, and they were coming to him from every direction, 20 miles away, just to repent of her sins and to be baptized by John the Baptist. They begin to ask John the Baptist, are you the one, or do we look for another? And John began to proclaim to them, no, I'm not a forerunner, I'm just a voice, I'm just preparing the way, but the one who comes after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He began to preach about the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus, after he was walking this life for 3.5 years doing his earthly ministry, he began to heal people. He began to cast out demons out of people. He began to raise the dead and cleanse the lepers. But at the end of his ministry, he began to tell his disciples that it's important that I leave you. In John chapter 6, 14 and 16, he said, it's expedient. It is important that I leave you and that I go to my Father, because when I leave, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. And he began to teach them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, he began to appear to many of his disciples, and he told them in Acts chapter 1, he says, and then the disciples said, are at this time, are you going to restore Jerusalem? Is this the end times? And he says, for you to know that those things, it's not for you to know that. He says, but go and wait in Jerusalem until when? Until you be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. I know you've been covered by the blood, but you need to get full of the Holy Spirit. Don't do any more preaching on anybody else. You go and get in the prayer room and lock it up until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that I still believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Amen. That's where the power is. You want, the Bible says in Jude verse number 20, beloved, build yourself up. You're looking for someone else to build you up? It may never happen. The Bible says build yourself up. Encourage yourself in the Lord. How do I build myself up? How do I stay on fire for God? It says building yourself up in the most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. I believe that if you want to walk in victory, you better learn not just to be covered by the blood, but you need to pray in the Holy Ghost every day. Amen? Someone says, do we still need the Holy Ghost? I know they did 2,000 years ago, but wouldn't that be done away with? Can I tell you, you need the Holy Spirit to go everywhere that you go. In fact, in Romans chapter 7, Paul begins to tell us, and Paul says there's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And some days I have the victory, some days I don't have the victory, but how do I keep the victory? And he said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Other words, he says, through being covered by the blood, we can have the victory. But he didn't just stop there. In Romans chapter 8, it's not about just through Jesus Christ, but then it's about the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 is about being spirit-led and spirit-filled and praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And if you are going to have victory in your life, we need to be covered by the blood and we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But can I tell you something? It's not enough to be covered by the blood and full of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you about Christians that are covered by the blood and they speak in tongues, but they're still not walking in complete victory. Why? Because they need to pick up another weapon. You see, I come to tell you that you got to be covered by the blood, full of the Holy Spirit. And then the third one in 1 John chapter 5 is we need to be walking in the Word. We need to be Word people. Can I tell you something? I seen a statistic even this morning. Listen to this. 45% of all people that go to church read the Bible more than one time a week. So half of you in this place read the Word more than once a week. But here it gets even more scary. 40% of all born-again evangelicals occasionally read the Word. 40%, almost half of every born-again believer are never picking up the Word of God. In fact, one out of every five people that proclaim to be born-again believers never opened their Bible. Can I tell you something? It's not enough to come to church to hear God's Word on Sundays. You better be in God's Word every day. That's why they call me bread. Amen? In fact, I come to tell you that it doesn't matter how much you've read in the past and how much you used to be in God's Word and how on fire you used to be on for God, it's not going to sustain you for what you're facing today. You better get in God's Word every morning. In fact, can I tell you something? I love to eat. Pastor George, you like to eat? We're going to go eat after we leave here. But you know what? My favorite places are buffets, because I can eat everything that I want. I don't have to stop until I'm done, until you got to wheel me out in a wheelchair. And if this is no joke, in one setting, I've ate over 120 crab legs one time. Dipped every one of them in butter. I'm still trying to beat that record, but I haven't done it yet. But I have ate a lot of food in my life. You could take all the food that I've digested and that I've ate since the last 48 years, and you could begin to put all of that in semis, and I bet I can fill up a dozen semis of everything that I've eaten. But did you know that if I stop eating today, it doesn't matter how much I've eaten in the last 48 years, if I stop eating today, in about 40 or 50 days from now, you're going to have a funeral for me. Why? Because it's not enough that I ate all of that in the past. I got to keep on eating to sustain me. You hear what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how much you used to be in God's Word. If you want to walk in victory, we got to be in God's Word every day. Why? Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every born-again believer, if you want to walk in victory, you got to be in God's Word, studying it diligently. Amen? Why? Because it is God's word breathed. This is the inspiration of God. And he's loved us how to walk in power and authority and dominion. I got to keep on going because I got seven of these things. But I come to tell you something. The first three came to heaven, from heaven. Covered by the blood, full of the Holy Spirit, walking in the word. All three of those came from heaven. But the last ones have to do with our part on how heaven and earth can agree with each other. And our fourth weapon is not enough to be covered by the blood. It's not enough to be full of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to be in God's word every day. You got to pick up your next weapon. Everybody say prayer. Now, we already talked a little about it. It says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn ways. God is calling his people back to the altar. God is calling his people to encounter him in our prayer lives. Amen. And sadly, many people do not pray. They do not seek God's face. They're in Facebook, but not in his book, not in his presence. But I believe if we want to walk in power and authority and dominion and see signs and miracles and wonders, it's going to be happening as God's people get back on the altar. Amen. That's what we need. We need revival to burst out in our churches. But every revival started in prayer. Elijah, when he prayed, God began to move. First, he raised someone from the dead. When he prayed, he raised someone from the dead. Do we want to see people raised from the dead? Amen. And then, not only that, but then he prayed for rain and it rained. Every time he prayed, God moved. The Bible says that if, when we pray, that we should pray with confidence. And that if we do, if we pray with boldness and confidence and we're praying God's word, guess what? We're going to see results. When Jesus was facing opposition and he was fasting for 40 days and Satan came to him, what did he fight the enemy with? Everybody say God's word. See, prayer and seeking God's word and being full of the Holy Spirit, all of these are ways that we can walk in victory, but we got to learn how to pray. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. But I come to tell you, it's not enough to be covered by the blood. It's not enough to be full of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to be in your grace. It's not enough to pray. Guess what? We got to pick up the next weapon, and our next weapon is praise and worship. Everybody say praise and worship. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Do you realize that when we, even though we're going through hell and we're facing opposition, that when we will worship God anyway, we just wave those flags before the Lord anyway, regardless of what's going on in your life. The Bible says he will inhabit the praise of his people. If you want heaven to come into your situation, what you are facing, you got to be a worshiper. Amen. We got to learn how to worship God. Now the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 that one day we're going to be raptured and we're going to be in the very presence of God and we're going to have crowns that we're going to throw at the feet of Jesus. And one day it's going to be such a praise and worship service that we have never experienced before. And we're going to throw our crowns at the feet of Jesus and we're going to sing a new song. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power and praise. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. How many of you guys are looking forward to that worship service? Amen. But I come to tell you, we don't have to wait until we get into heaven and to the presence of God before we start worshiping and praising our God. When we worship God, can I tell you what happens? The walls of Jericho will come down. When we worship our God, the chains that have us bound and those that are around us are going to come off. The Bible says that Paul and Silas, in the midnight hour, at their darkest moment, when it looked like it was hopeless and it looked like it was over, they were in chains, they were in prison for preaching God's word. But at midnight, they begin to worship God and sing praises unto God. And the Bible says that God sent an angel and released them from the prison. And their chains fell off. And even the prisoners that were beside them, their chains came off. As we worship God, God breaks chains. Amen. That is a weapon of warfare. But it's not enough to be covered by the blood, full of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Word, praying and worshiping. We got to pick up our sixth weapon. Amen. Our sixth weapon is fasting. Everybody say fasting. Tell you what, there is nothing that breaks the chains more than just getting a hold of God, pushing the plate aside. I'm not just talking about fasting from social media, even though most of us really needs to do that. But I mean really pushing the plate aside and fasting for a breakthrough in your family and in your ministry and in this church. Amen? In Daniel chapter 9, even though Daniel was a powerful man of God, and when he was trying to get answers from God, he went on a 21-day fast, and he began to pray and seek the face of God, and he resisted all the delicacy foods and only went on a Daniel fast, vegetables and fruits and nuts and things of that nature. And he got serious with God. And guess what? The Bible says that there was the opposition that was facing him. The prince of Persia withstood, and even though the first day that Daniel began to pray, God heard, but there was resistance, there was opposition that was coming against Daniel, and he had to pull out that weapon of fasting and saying, I'm going to seek the face of God. There's something about fasting that will give you a breakthrough. Some of you need a breakthrough in your life, and you've been covered by the blood, you've been speaking in tongues, you've been in your Word, you've been praying, and you've been worshiping, but you still haven't got the breakthrough. Maybe it's time to fast and to get God. Amen? And then the seventh weapon, of course, is anointing oil. Everybody say oil. You see, this represents the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And it will break every chain and every bondage that is in your life. And so today, God has given us a way that we can walk in complete victory. But we got to have all seven of these armed and ready every day that we face. Amen? We got to learn how to speak victory. We got to learn how to quit speaking death and start speaking the Word of God and praying over our situation. The Bible says, if any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, praying the prayer of faith shall save us sick. So today, God has given us a way to walk in victory. How many guys want to walk in victory? And so, God has given us these weapons, but when we're experiencing defeat, when we're experiencing the setbacks of our life and we're not seeing the breakthrough, maybe we need to examine to see if we have all seven of these weapons or if we let one go. There's been many times in my life when I didn't have the victory, but I could always trace it back to one of these I forgot to pick up. Amen? Everybody stay on your feet this morning. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And so, Father God, I thank you right now that you have given us powerful weapons to defeat every enemy, every challenge, every obstacle that every person in this building is going through right now. And right now, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every family, over every individual. I come against every demonic spirit, every spirit and principality, every seducing spirit, every deceiving spirit. Right now, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ for everyone in this congregation. And I stand in the gap right now. I take up the blood of Jesus and I plead it over everyone in this building right now. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you. And right now, the Holy Spirit, everyone begin to pray in the Holy Spirit right now. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, that you have given us a powerful weapon, the Holy Spirit, to defeat our enemies. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, your Word says that we shall live and not die, that greater is he that is in the world, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Right now, we pick up the Word of God and we slay every giant, every challenge and obstacle right now. We speak life over it. Lord, we choose your Word in Jesus' name, covered by the blood, full of the Holy Spirit, in the Word every day, Father God. We pray right now, Lord. We know that prayer changes things, Lord. God, right now we intercede and pray and stand in the gap for our family. We stand in the gap for our marriages. We stand in the gap for this church, Father God. And we're praying for a new anointing, Father, to fall in this place, Lord God. God, we worship you and praise you even in the midnight hour. Even though some people are going through the storm of our life, Lord, we're going to keep worshiping you. We're going to keep praising you. We're going to keep exalting you, Father God. God, some of these people in this place are going to go home and fast. 24-hour fast, 3-day fast, 21-day fast, 40 days fast, Lord. But we thank you that you have given us weapons to come against the opposition in our life, Father. And Lord, right now we thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke, every chain, and every bond.